You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
Howdy do. It is the second day of June in 2017. It is muggy and cloudy out. Already has rained some, will rain some more. On and off, it is spotty out of the south, and then more tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, who knows. So, but it's not going to be a beautiful weekend, but it's going to be muggy and warm and all that stuff. So good luck, and thank you for the mainly intelligent commentaries and reactions to the Paris Agreement. It's a lot more complex than anybody has time to go into here, but most people take a pretty thoughtful approach to it. There are various opinions. There are books to look at. There are all kind of stuff. So at least be smart about it and don't just rattle off what you hear somebody at your job say. Look it up. Read about it. There are books. There are experts. Some think it's part this, part that. At least investigate before you start running your pie hole and make a fool of yourself. That's the end of that discussion. Next. Now on to the fun part. More dumbasses. People get naked. We hadn't had one for a while, but this one is not quite naked, but almost. Cleveland Heights, which I assume is in Cleveland or near it. A lady showed up for work and found a guy in just his underwears asleep in the hall, passed out in her office building, just laying there with his drawers on. He was drunk, claimed his clothes were in the office. How'd he get in the office? He's out in the hallway drunk. Police charged the man with disorderly conduct and public drunk and wearing his underwears in the hallway. He was not employed by this office. So how'd your clothes get in there, bro?
This one comes to us from Utah, where Chris Sever has filed a lawsuit against the state saying that he should be allowed to marry his laptop computer.
Yes, he should, by gosh.
Due to the legalization of same-sex marriage, the lawsuit names the governor, the attorney general, the Utah County clerk, and he says that since courts have recognized same-sex individuals' right to marry, the court should further expand the right to marry to include unions between a person and a laptop computer. The court begs to differ, says the claims are untenable. Simply put, marrying a laptop computer it's not a right protected by the Constitution. And he goes on to say that, furthermore, even if that were the case, unless Sever's computer has attained the age of 15, it is too young to marry under Utah law.
So makes as much sense as anything else does.
Well, I get the laptop a little better than a train or something. At least you can watch porn and you can have some kind of sexual relationship with your laptop.
That's a good point.
In Florida.
But the holes, though, for the inputs are kind of small.
Nice visual.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right. In Florida, there's a family that's left. They left a restaurant angry. Adam and Kara Gregg, they said that their children, they're 1 and 3 years old. They went to Brooklyn Water Bagels restaurant to get something to eat. And while they were standing in line to order food, the mother allowed the three-year-old daughter to play with the salt shaker. She dumped some salt on the table.
Big deal.
Began to play with it. Well, suddenly the manager rushed over to the table, began yelling at the mother. The manager told the mother she and her family must leave the restaurant or he would call the police to remove them. So she quickly picked up her children and left before the police arrived.
Calm down, honey.
Well, according to the other people that were in the restaurant, that's not at all what happened. They claimed that the mom was rude, obnoxious. She was fine for her child to make a mess all over the restaurant. The father was cursing at the manager, and that was the reason that they were told to leave.
And that makes more sense than the other thing does.
Yeah.
How many times when you were a kid or a teenager or even now, did you sit at a bar and pour salt out and try to balance the salt shaker on the salt?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's one of many games.
So this guy was an a-hole and his wife was a B. This is cool. The headline pretty much covers the whole thing. Man with new tattoo ignores advice not to swim and does and dies from flesh-eating bacteria after an ocean dip. Don't want to pay attention? Good. We'll see you in hell. A guy who ignored the advice to wait 2 weeks before getting in the ocean with his new ink has died after he was infected by a flesh-eating bacteria. Good. Thin the herd. A 31-year-old moron got into the Gulf of Mexico 5 days after getting his religious tattoo, man, which is fine. That's great. A crucifix and a pair of hands praying. Didn't work out for him so well because he's dead and he didn't pay attention. He's stupid. He got a fever, chills, and a rash, and then it rotted off his arm, and then he's dead. He's dead. Let's see here. The vibrovulnicious bug in the patient's liver that had cirrhosis from years of heavy drinking didn't help the fact.
Uh-huh.
So he got drunk and wanted to find the Lord and get tattooed on his thing and ended up dead. So you take what you want to from that story. They told you not to get in the damn water, all right? But you got your little crucifix now and your prayer hands, so you're covered, except for the fact that your liver is rotten. Other than that, you're cool. It's not a problem. So have a nice day. Today, by the way, is National Donut Day.
Okay.
Do we need this, really?
No.
Oh, shoot.
What?
I spilled coffee.
It doesn't matter. I eat donuts, I don't know, maybe twice a year. I know that it's just, I guess people that just don't care just eat them every day.
That's like a good excuse to eat cake for breakfast.
Yeah, it is, every now and then, but it's just not necessarily good for you. But that doesn't matter to anybody. Who cares?
Fried dough and frosting, not good for you? Not, how could that
sure.
be?
Sure. I mean, the climate's in great shape. Everything is going perfectly. What would 7 or 8 donuts do to me? Who cares? And just drink beer with them, too. Just double up. Go for it.
Yeah.
And let's see. Several national chains, Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme, Duck Donuts, and Cumberland Farms are making the occasion, or marking the occasion, with free food. Not all stores are doing this. So don't just pop in there and demand your free stuff. They may shoot you. You got to buy coffee at some of them. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This was established in 1938, actually for a good reason.
Yeah.
The Salvation Army in Chicago did it to honor women who served donuts to soldiers during World War I. So back then they didn't have diabetes. So it was all good then, but now it seems to be a little bit excessive. But hey, it's your body. It's your life. Do what you want to do. You eat whatever you want. Eat some bologna and some liverwurst and a bunch of salt and a bunch of donuts and just drink whatever you want to. That's going. You're in trouble.
I know. The engineer already hates me, and I'm sure it's under that board.
Oh, good. Well, maybe it'll go just off the air and we can go home.
Just pour a little more in there.
Can the board be picked up?
I don't know.
Man.
This is a bad spill.
Yeah, the microphone still works, though.
This is the first spaz move of the day, and at least it wasn't me for once.
Yeah, I went to get the cough button. Well, I did more than cough. It was a cough fee everywhere.
Let's just say that you had a small stroke, and it wasn't your fault.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Other things, this is a drag, and this wasn't... I almost said wasn't even terrorism. That's how our mind goes these days. Anytime you see one of these headlines, saw it last night and skipped it. You know, I've got to stop sitting in at my desk for 2 hours a night looking through every news site on the internet. I'm trying to look at all of it and come to some conclusive evidence of something based upon the ideology and the opinions of two different sets of people. It is damn near impossible because of the conflict. It's just, we have never been more divided and either more hateful or more stupid or more overly compassionate. It's just overkill on both sides of it. But you sit there and you read one site, you go to Drudge, you go to Huffington Post, you go to Fox News, you go to... And everybody has a different take on it. That's why it is impossible to arrive at something that makes sense. Because everybody's an expert, and people go to the same sites over and over again to feed whatever they believe. And so that's why we end up in these situations. That's why you assume anytime somebody has bombed someplace, it's ISIS. Well, in this case, it wasn't. This is even worse. The Philippines, in Manila, they have a bunch of casinos and stuff. A resort on the bay there, 36 people died after a lone gunman stormed into this resort before opening fire and setting tables on fire. This was a robbery that went bad. But just imagine being at a casino with your wife and, you know, and you're playing blackjack, and suddenly here is a guy with this gun, and he's setting everything on fire. It was, I guess, supposed to be a distraction. People were fleeing in terror, several loud bangs. This story does not say what I heard this morning, that the majority of those that died were females who ran into a bathroom, and they died from suffocation and smoke inhalation, and nobody had gunshot wounds. And then this dickhead went outside and set himself on fire and shot himself in the head just to make sure. At least he got the job done.
Yeah.
So these people did not get shot. They died from smoke. Women in a bathroom trapped was the main reason. So that's the last time I'm talking about anything in the real news today at all.
All right.
The other parts that should be mentioned locally, the thing tomorrow at the Forum is worthy of discussion. The meal pack challenge is tomorrow to help feed the hungry. People live in poverty. It happens. It doesn't mean that they're bums or derelicts in every case. They need help. It's mainly older people. Not mainly, but oftentimes it is. Tomorrow, 8 till 4:30, they're asking for volunteers for hour-and-a-half shifts. They need some food from the food bank, non-perishable food to be packaged up to feed seniors and those that need some help. The power's out still for 25,000 people, and we'll be back on for maybe a week, so that's becoming a problem. Duracell giving out batteries and flashlights to storm victims. They were in Fraser today and yesterday. We have the website to get a hold of them on the Facebook page and the website. It's the Duracell Power Forward Program. They're doing a nice thing and also giving themselves a nice pat on the back in the meantime. The downtown this weekend, the price to park at a meter will go into effect. It's not very much and isn't really that big of a news story. And the Yellow Dot program in Tennessee, pretty smart, aims to save lives in like car wrecks. The dot, if it's on your windshield, it will go to your glove box. If you have medical issues, they can find out what they are and info that you provide in the glove box. So that can be found, too, by Googling T-Dot, Yellow Dot.
Yes.
There you go. So that's pretty far out. Stocks at an all-time high. That's good for your portfolio, man. And makes your money go up. And we'll see how long this lasts. I hope for a good time.
You all right?
Excuse me. Yeah, it's just whatever's in the air, and it gets wet, and then makes start coughing, and this room is emitting poisonous gas. That's why Danny just dropped her coffee, because this poison gas overtook her.
My head's going to start spinning, green stuff coming out of my mouth.
Well, this starts when you walk in this room, and that's just a fact, but we've all had this for over a month now. I've had friends who've had bronchitis that couldn't breathe and went to the ER. It got so bad that they just couldn't breathe. This is everywhere, and it lingers on you for weeks at a time. So don't feel bad. My only advice, once again, to you that I've tried everything in the world, but a buddy of mine whose brother is a doctor told him that if you take Mucinex a couple times a week year round, you will never get this crap again. But taking that, and I've been doing it every 6 hours. You do get everything out of your system. You cough it up, you pee a lot, and it gets out. So if you're just at your wit's end, try that, because this really is annoying, and it drains your energy, and it just sucks. The 90th Scripps National Spelling Bee is over. A little girl named a name that I can't spell or pronounce, Anna Naya Benet, won the thing. She's 12 years old. She won the title by spelling Marrowcane.
Marrowcane?
Now, I can see this, but I'm trying to picture what I would have thought Marrowcane.
M-A-R-R-O-W-C-A-N-E.
No. That's what I would have gone with.
I would have gone with marrow as in bone.
Mm-hmm.
And cane, we're not even close. M-A-R-O-C-A-I-N. It is a dress fabric made from silk or rayon. Never heard the word in my life.
No.
Well, with all the sewing that we do, it's a
wonder. We are big on the sewing up here. She broke the bee's 3-year streak of ending in a tie, and she got $40,000 in cash, trophy, other prizes, and I guess a bunch of free donuts for today. We talked about all these words and how hard they are, and it crossed my mind last night because of how hard this language, English. Well, most people can't speak it well anyway, but it's hard to learn if you're not from here for a number of reasons. And one of us mentioned the word kernel is hard to spell because it isn't. And then it crossed my mind that there's a kernel, like a rank, C-O-L-O-N-E-L. Mm-hmm. There's also a kernel like in corn,
right.
K-E-R-N-E-L. Wonder why it's hard to learn? There's one big example right there.
It really is.
And they're endless.
I didn't think about the food kernel till just now. And yeah, you put those two next to each other and say, okay, you pronounce these exactly the same.
And they're completely different things. I'd move back to where I came from.
Right.
You just get out. Just go back home to where you talk right. What else? Walmart's trying this delivery to your door in Arkansas and in New Jersey. Two completely different geographic vibes and locations and environs. So we'll see how they're trying to keep up with Amazon. And Amazon, I just saw this story one time. Amazon opened up their first bookstore in New York. Is that where it was? And I'm not sure what the point is. One of the beauties of Amazon, which has unfortunately helped the end to bookstores, is you go online, you order a book, and it's there in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So what's to be gained by having an Amazon brick-and-mortar bookstore, which requires going to it and talking to people and walking around and stuff? Why?
Well, some people like to browse a bookstore.
Yes, but Amazon is putting those out of business.
Yes, right. That's the whole point.
But they're not going to be able to put their own out of business because they can subsidize it.
But why would they waste the money to do it when it's already online for everybody in the world? Why spend money to do a bookstore when their point has been to buy it online? It's there in 2 days. Why open a store? Now, in Midtown Manhattan, maybe that works.
Yeah.
In Fraser, it doesn't.
No.
Yeah, if it wasn't putting businesses out of business, then it would make sense. But it doesn't because it's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're going to open a Blockbuster.
Boy, I guess they just didn't. They weren't paying attention.
No.
Because most of us, most everybody in the world could see that coming. It came like a train down the track moving fast. I thought, they're done. It's over.
And, you know, you're right. That would be a good documentary to watch because I would like to know what behind the scenes. Maybe there is none, so it wouldn't be a very good thing
to watch. They just got zapped one at a time. That's gone. That's gone. But they own Redbox, right?
No, I don't think so. They had an opportunity to buy into Redbox or Netflix or one of those services and turned it down. And now there's only three left and two are in Alaska.
How many of us with little kids back in the 90s went to a Blockbuster about twice a week?
Well, you had little kids, but, I mean, that's what we did for date night. I mean, that was part of the date. You'd go to dinner, then you'd go find a movie.
That was one of the best things, too, I remember with my kids.
Go to Blockbuster, hang out. That's pretty hot.
Well, the thing that It's like it was like a bookstore, though, because you could find some movie that you've never heard of.
But when the new ones came out, you were dying to see. They had 40 copies, and every box was empty.
Yep. Oh, you'd go to the thing. You'd go to the counter first. You wouldn't even go to the back. You'd go, has anybody turned it in the last 5 minutes?
Exactly. And you tried to find somebody to be your bud so you could, like, always work them. Hey, man, come on. I see it right over there. So as they came in, they'd be stacked up on the return aisle, and you're over there, you know, like some kind of a, you know, sicko trying to find the movie you wanted to see. But I see that those Redbox things used all the time.
Yeah. If you're wanting something new, that's a pretty good way to go. But the memory I have with the Blockbuster is driving into town with my kid, who was about 8 or 9 at the time. And we somehow got into the discussion of Frankenstein and those movies and such as that. So we stopped at a Blockbuster that was still in existence.
And they had it?
And found a DVD 4-pack of 4 of the original Frankenstein Universal movies.
Well, that's
and
really
watched
cool.
that all day.
Well, that's all good. Good. Yeah, well.
Which you can't do. Just
I guess now you have to buy them online.
Either that
or
you have to have a Netflix account or whatever movie subscribing service that has those Universal movies and hope that they actually have them available.
Well, I know that I'm not that techie. The new X1 control for my whatever the hell it is, that confuses me enough. But Netflix is on, it's all part of the system. Mm-hmm. So I went there a few weeks back because I wanted to watch that thing about Keith Richards. It's under documentaries. So you get there, and then for me, the assault of too much information makes me just shut down. Because there's TV shows, new TV shows, there's movies. There are so many categories. And to sit there and go through all this stuff and try to figure out what's what, and it just wore me out. But then my wife taught me that you can talk into the remote and say, Keith Richards documentary, and I'll be darned if it doesn't pop right up.
Really it makes it off. A lot easier.
Yeah.
I use the search.
But it's hard to search endlessly.
I just go to search, and then I start typing in the title, and
that's
it'll pop up.
Oh, okay.
You'll learn that. We need to teach you that, too.
That sounds too hard. That's way too hard for me. But if you like the Stones, you ought to watch that and see how awesome Keith is. And if you're a Beatle fan, the 8 days a week that Ron Howard did last year, I want to watch that during this resurgence of Beatle mania. Let's do this one into the break. People seem to really enjoy this. So in this book that I mentioned 1,000 times by Rob Sheffield, John, on this song was one of the, maybe on this album, the one that held the most fascination for many people because of its structure. It took them a long time to do it. And in many cases, the Beatles would, these albums were broken down to songs by Paul, songs by John, and then George had one, which caused great friction. On occasion, Ringo had one. But A Day in the Life and this entire album, they pretty much all, you know, pitched in. As you can hear, if you've heard the past couple of days, there are some real attitudes among these boys.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a little bitch. And Paul was the biggest bitch of all, which you learn much. I mean, as, you know, time went by and Brian Epstein, who was their manager, when he died, everything changed. And Paul wanted to be the boss. Well, they were all the Beatles, and they got real tired of Paul being pushy. But if he hadn't been pushy, they would never have gotten anything done. Because George Martin wasn't pushy, and he was there. He was not their guy that, you know, he just did all their production and helped them make these sounds. But anyway, this song, they would do a piece. John did his, and then Paul would do one. And then they figured out this way to combine them, which took forever. And they went on and on and on. And the end of it, which we will play this all the way through after I play the take one. The end of it, as you know, the first attempt they made was to all of them hum and just hold it together. Now, that didn't have the effect that they desired. So they pulled in five pianos into Abbey Road Studios. Five pianos. And the four Beatles and George Emerick, who was the engineer on the record, they all sat down and at the same time, they hit that note. And it sustains for something like 27 seconds. And it says in that book, if you turn it up all the way to the very end, which I probably won't, it is so quiet, you can hear Ringo's shoes squeaking. Because they hit the note and didn't move.
Uh-huh.
And let it all kind of just out. But at the very end, he moves his feet and you can hear it on the tape. So and here,
Paul didn't fire him for that?
you don't fire Ringo, dog. Ringo's the man. Ringo spends his life now giving the peace sign. And that's all he does is smile and give the peace sign and be rich.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.